You think about when they went into Jericho and how Rahab, in faith, hid those spies and took care of them. And they made a promise that when we raid, because we're coming, and she told them, everybody's afraid of you, they're scared, they already got words, y'all coming. Because God told them he was going to do that. And God would have already done it. He would have done it 40 years earlier. The same thing was being worked out, but they didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. They could have done conquered all that. But she and they made a promise that what they tied something. What did they left a marker. What was a marker?
Golden cord.
The cord. They left that cord. And when they saw it, they knew not to harm anybody in that house. It was protected. And here we take a harlot, a prostitute, and she goes from being a harlot or a prostitute to eventually becoming the wife of one of David's great-grandfathers, huh? And now she is in the line of the Messiah. Now, those things don't happen by accident. I believe each one of those lines, the way it worked out, was sovereignly determined way before time ever began. But it's neat how she acted in faith, done what she done, and as long as those walls were up, she was a harlot. But when the walls came down, now she becomes a wife and a mother and a grandmother in a way that is honored throughout the rest of the scriptures for her faithfulness to the Lord. And that's just what grace does. It takes us from a lifestyle that is less than honorable, like Gomer. You know, we read about Gomer. Now, Gomer liked her lifestyle as a harlot and a prostitute, and her kids were just a byproduct of that, so she had no care or concern for them. She wouldn't take responsibility. They were just casualties of the profession she was in, and she could walk away from them with no trouble. Hosea just kept reaching out. And eventually, she realized that Hosea cared for her and that he was showing her mercy. And she became a faithful wife as well. And that's just what grace does. When we go from looking at the things of God from a law perspective of obligation to a perspective of gratitude because of God's faithfulness, it changes who we are. And that's what happened with Rahab as well. So it's neat. There's a lot of people out there that still have walls up. That it takes a few folks like us who are going to trust God, do what he says, even if it doesn't make sense to us, like walking around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day, blowing your horns and the walls fall in a way that can't be explained other than a supernatural act of God. And that's what he does in our lives. And remember, our God is the one who is the only God who can alter the natural realm. And there are things that are natural, like seed time and harvest. Haggai's one of those books that showed that God altered the natural. They sowed but didn't reap. Naturally, whatever you sow, you reap. Not only do you reap, but you reap more than you sow. They were not making God a priority. First place, he altered that out of his love for them to reveal, to take a look like something not right here. Y'all got things out of line. Your priorities are messed up. You're not seeking first the king and his kingdom. And God loves you enough to show you that by the product of your life. Well, that's altering that. No different than the flow of the Jordan River. That's a natural thing. God altered that. The walls were built to protect and sustain God supernaturally. He altered that. And he does that today. He can alter the natural flow of things that we've started. Even bad things in the past. He is able to alter it and cut it off. I'm thankful he has, because I want to tell you, there's been a lot of stuff that should have come my way that he, in his mercy, cut it off. Are you with me? He can do it. He can do it for people you know, people you don't know, people you care for, people that you don't necessarily like. He can do it for our children. He can do it for our parents. He can do it in any situation, he can cut, he can alter the natural. He's a God that never considers the odds. And I want to tell you, he's a God that makes axe heads float. And it ain't natural for an axe head to float, but he can do it. And he does it. And he'll do it in our lives as well. What's the common denominator? That is, they heard his voice. They believed what he said. They obeyed what he said to do. And God done supernatural things. You're going to see it throughout the book of Joshua. And it's going to help us. No different than in Joshua 5 with the captain. Y'all remember the captain of the Lord's army? When Joshua saw him and he had his sword drawn, Joshua said, "You for us or you from him?" And what did he say? He said, "No." That was his word. "No, I'm not for you and I'm not for them. I'm here for one objective, to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So wherever he tells me to do, that's what I do. Now, you want to join me serving him, you're welcome to. But am I come here to serve you, or am I coming here to serve him? The answer is no. I serve only one. That's who I serve. And that is the picture of us of in the same position. Jesus come for one purpose. Matter of fact, that command of the Lord of hosts is what we would consider a theophany. That was the Son of God before he took on flesh as Jesus. And his objective, just like when he came, he says, "I only do what the what? My Father tells me to do." And when we're hidden in him, that's how we live as well. We want to do what he tells us to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it doesn't make sense. He'll make it make sense when it doesn't make sense. All we got to do is trust and follow him. Amen? Amen. So yeah, chapter 5, you see it. Notice what he said. We'll go. I'm done. I'm got about hungry. We rode over to Livingston. They had hot dogs for $1. Stephanie's eyes lit up and said, "Let's get two." But they are long gone. She got some stuffed peppers over there I might go eat. He said in verse 13, chapter 5, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'No.'" King James says, "Nay."
My Bible says neither.
Neither. Exactly. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." He just said, "I am on a mission of the Lord." That's who I serve. That's who I serve. I don't serve you, and I don't serve them. I serve him. And if you want to be served, you need to get in line with him. Pretty much is what he's saying. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshiped. And he said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?'" Joshua's proper response was, "I understand what you just said. I'm here to serve. What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Take your sandals off of your foot, for the place where you stand is what? The only place that is holy is where God's at. That's what makes us holy. It's the presence of God. When that burning bush was burning with Moses and he took his shoes off, who spoke to him that day? Son of God did. Jesus spoke to him. He just hadn't put on flesh yet. But that's who spoke to him. Son of God. And what was that place? He was standing on what? Holy ground. The presence. In the presence of God. That's what God always deals with his people. Through who? Through his Son. And his Son has always existed. We see him throughout the scriptures. It was only when he took upon flesh that we begin to understand and call his name Jesus. Prior to that, he was already at work doing marvelous things. Amen?